This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning and welcome back to America's Web Radio. As promised last week, we're doing another special edition of the Dan and Dave Show. Dan's not with us, but we have Ellen Deal that is with us. And Ellen, welcome back to America's Web Radio and the Dan and Dave Show. And we appreciate you coming in today.
Thanks so much, Dave. It's great to be here.
As the old cliche goes, we're entering probably our most important election of ever. And, that was a big cliche. That was a big, baloney that politicians used to use. And I would sort of laugh at that every year or every election is the most important. Well, I think this election really is. And it comes down to one thing, and I couldn't agree with, I never heard of the young lady before. Billy Graham's granddaughter was on this morning. I don't know if you happened to see that or not.
But I did not see that, no.
This is the first time that the president's minister's family has ever endorsed anybody. And this was Chris Graham Lane, I believe is her name, Christy mm-hmm. Graham Lane. And she was on Fox and Friends this morning and endorsed Donald Trump.
Wow.
And the reason being, and I think this is the important thing for everybody to look at, there is one thing to be said about, well, this is an election, we're voting for either a man or a woman, and, questionable whatevers and whatevers. But rest assured, if it comes down to one thing, that's the Supreme Court. And that's the most, as far as I'm concerned, that puts Obamacare, that puts the everything in the shade compared to the Supreme Court. And that's exactly what she was saying, that that's why she it was coming out in endorsing, not the Graham family, but her personally, she was coming out to endorse Donald Trump and his selection. He's already presented a group of people that potentially he would tap on the shoulder to be Supreme Court judges. And I think people have to understand this. Whether you like him or not, compared to what Hillary would appoint or nominate for Supreme Court justices would be deplorable and would kill our country for the rest, for 20, 30 years or longer, if not put us totally out of business. So with that being said, I have done my rant and rave. Ellen, thank you for coming in again today.
Yeah, no, great. Absolutely great to be here. There's just so much that's happened throughout the course of this entire election cycle, and especially even in the last week, but we need to remember things that have gone out throughout this process, such as Hillary Clinton, saying she was going to put the coal miners out of business. Everybody needs to remember that. There's people are talking about, oh, solar energy would be a great way to go. But Donald Trump looked at the idea of solar energy, and here's how he broke it down. If you build a solar panel farm, it takes 28 years to get your return on investment, which is not very good when you're looking at it like a Donald Trump would look at it. But not only does it take 28 years to get your money back on solar panels, you have to replace the warped solar panels that have been damaged by the sun every 10 years. So throw that on top of it, and you're not making your money back for like 30 years. So energy is something that our nation needs to pay close attention to. There are so many ways that a Clinton administration just comes up as a huge fail. And we all need to keep an eye out for that.
Okay. Ellen, with that being said, we've got a very special guest on. He's a friend of America's Web Radio. He is a fiber security expert. He's worked for a number of different... We won't even go into the concerns of who Robert's worked for over the years, but he is an expert, and we wanted to bring Robert in. We were talking about this a little bit. He was on Lawyer Liz's show, Buzz Off, the other day, and we talked about it a little bit. And I invited Robert to be on this show because I think this is so important. Robert, welcome back to America's Web Radio. And We wanted to talk about, people can say, you know, anything that comes up from the email situation or anything, oh, it's just a conspiracy, oh, they could have played with this, or in the Democrats' line is the Russians who were playing with it. But we wanted to get you on because of your credentials and explain to our audience what's fake and what's not fake, and can you really play that much with emails? So with that being said, welcome to the show, Robert.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, what we were talking about last week is how spam detection systems will sign digitally outgoing emails. Not all email servers support this feature, but a lot do, especially Google's Gmail, which Podesta used. And what that means, a digital signature means, is that any change to the time it was sent or the sender or any changes to the content of the emails, you change one letter and then the signature fails. And the intent for this, of course, with spam is that you know who sent the spam. That if Google says they sent an email, you know it came from a Google and that's valid and not from some spammer. The unintended consequence of this is that when we get a dump of Hillary's emails, like on WikiLeaks, we actually can verify some of them. Those emails with these digital signatures, we can go check them ourselves and say, hey, were they signed correctly? And if they were, then we know that WikiLeaks did not doctor them or forge them at all.
Okay, now, with that being said, and this is the ones coming in from WikiLeaks and so forth and so on, but if it's coming directly off of, quote-unquote, a Wiener laptop,
right,
those wouldn't be doctored anyway, would they?
Well, they would have the same thing as the Podesta emails. Some of them will have these digital signatures. Not all of them. Emails sent by Wiener or by Huma Abedin, as the copy is on the laptop being sent, it hasn't had the signature applied yet. So we wouldn't know if those are verified. But emails coming from Hillary's server, we would know those were verified and that those were true. So if Hillary sends Huma Abedin an email saying, hey, what do we do about this? You know, should we delete some of these emails and obstruct justice? That would actually have a valid signature on it, and we would know whether it was valid or not.
How fast, they're talking some incredible numbers, 650,000 emails.
Right.
I mean, that's a busy lady, you know. how fast can this system go through and confirm or verify or whatever needs to be done?
Well, it takes a millisecond, so it can process all of them very quickly.
Pretty fast. What?
Yeah.
From a legal standpoint, and I recognize you. You and I are not attorneys, but from a legal standpoint, will all of this be brought up, or would this be brought up before a grand jury, in your opinion, and explained, and then go from there?
I doubt they would get that far. I think they would just accept that this is not a route that they could go through and challenge, and that they would just have to deal with it. I've never really seen it appear in a legal case before. People challenge the evidence of the email because it did or did not have a valid signature.
So
the trick would be to sometimes the signature fails because sometimes emails get corrupted. Like one letter somewhere is off, and then the whole signature goes off. We don't know which letter, whether it's like an added space to a line or something. So the trick would be to go and look for to see if they had a signature, but the signature failed, in which case then challenge the whole validity of the entire email. But I don't think anyone's ever been smart enough to do that.
Wouldn't it be quite a challenge to doctor these in any way or do anything, whether it's the WikiLeaks or the Wiener emails? I call them that, the... Because I hate that guy, but for lack
Carlos
of better
Danger,
words.
We got to love Carlos Danger.
Pardon me?
We have to love Carlos Danger. He's provided us so much entertainment.
His alias.
Ellen Deal is here with us. Ellen, do you have a question for Robert?
Hey, Robert. Yeah. So with the emails, do we have any idea yet exactly what they're finding? I'm hoping what they're going to find in the Wiener laptop is a lot of undeleted emails about pay-for-play schemes and money going to the Clinton Foundation by way of ill-gotten gains.
Yeah, I think we'll find, of those 30,000 emails that Hillary deleted because they were private-only emails, I think we'll find a lot of those, and a lot of those will be interesting. And as you said, showing pay-for-play. Of course, she'll never say pay-for-play. She'll be too smart for that. But we'll see things like, the Saudis gave us $1 million. We'll just go talk to them and understand their concerns or something like that.
So
the salacious one, the one rumor that we've heard, is that there's emails to Huma Abedin from Hillary that may be discussing what do we do about the fact, because these were emails after her private email server was discovered, discussing what to do about the private email server, where it may find obstruction of justice, and where they discuss which emails to delete. So that's probably the biggest thing. Obstruction of justice is a felony. So that would be the biggest thing in those emails.
Robert, you're the expert. You've been there. Ellen and I are sitting here. I don't know. I'm not an expert on anything. But I know everybody is questioning this. You're presented with 650,000 emails, and I want to know tomorrow. How many people in your estimation are working on this? How fast can it literally turn? Can anything be turned before next Tuesday?
It's pretty easy because you start from the top down. You start thinking about what sort of search terms would I search for all those emails, and search for those terms like email server. Well, search for every email that mentions an email server, the word email server. And that will get a small number of emails very quickly to get to a certain subject that you're interested in. Also, a lot of those emails are probably things like advertisements and spam they got from, like, Amazon.com or something. And you can quickly filter out the bad emails. Like, Hillary didn't send 250,000 emails to Huma Abedin. So just show me all the emails that Hillary sent to Huma Abedin, and that will get you maybe 1,000 emails or 2,000 emails. So it can be filtered down and narrowed very, very quickly within minutes.
That's incredible. So I guess the next step would be what the director of the FBI and Loretta Lynch came up with. If it's pronounced, I don't know that. Legally, it should be presented to the in a press conference situation.
Probably not.
Have you been in a situation where email has been used in a court case, or you've been called in to testify about, be it emails or anything?
Yes, I've been involved in patent cases a lot. I haven't done anything criminal, though.
So would this... I guess it would be a very interesting situation to be brought into this and have to explain or explain what's going on, and then it's not word of mouth, because if push came to panic, it could be printed out, correct? And then in the email, it's not word of mouth, it is printable. Was that you? I think we might have just lost Robert. Well, in that case, we did, I guess.
Okay. Well, we Bam. Will.
As they say in the big city, things happen.
That's all right. Well, are we going to a break, or are you going to...
I tell you what. Yeah, we ought to go to a break. I'm glad you noticed that. We'll be back on America's Web Radio with Ellen Deal and a special edition of the Dan and Dave Show right after this.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week as we explore all aspects of home and family defense as we strive to defend the ones we love in an ever-changing and volatile world.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren. On Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And you're back on America's Web Radio and the classic, what am I saying, classic nothing, the Dan and Dave Show special edition for this Wednesday. And we're very fortunate to have Ellen Deal in, and she's been a Trump supporter. And, you know, last Friday was amazing. This whole campaign has been amazing and sickening in its own way. Mm. I do appreciate your candidate has stayed to the issues, has brought up issues from day one, mm-hmm. and has addressed issues, maybe not as totally as some folks would like, but certainly from my standpoint, I think he has addressed the issues. And if you can take enough Pepto-Bismol and laxatives and relaxants and everything else to listen to Hillary, she says nothing except anti-Trump messages.
What's been interesting over the last week, I've been watching more rallies on social media, whether that's YouTube or Facebook, and keeping up with how many people are watching Trump rallies online versus her rallies online. Then I started paying attention to the comments that are made in the feed as the live feed is going on. And in Trump rallies, you'll have 80,000 people watching online, positive comments, thumbs up, drain the swamp, lock her up, build that wall, all over the place. Then when you go out to a Hillary event to watch that, what you see are far less people watching online, only a couple of thousand, if that. And the comments that are being made, I think the people watching online must be Trump supporters because, or Bernie supporters, because the comments being made are very, very negative. And they're also saying, even during a her rally, lock her up and what a liar and a criminal she is, and that Bill is a rapist. And these are the comments that are going on during her live rallies. So it's really interesting the support that's being shown.
It's been amazing, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
She really has said nothing. I have no clue about her policies. I was asked the other day, what did she have to do with Benghazi? Well, she had a lot to do with Benghazi, and I think if we ever get all of the facts out, it'll be horrifying. I think it was a arms sell that went sour. She had, as Secretary of State, she was in charge of the security in Benghazi and didn't give it to our Ambassador Stevens. We've had Tonto Peranto on, Chris Peranto, that was one of the survivors of the Benghazi and went to their aid, went to the embassy's aid. And they had... you know, this person that was questioning me on this said, well, what did, you know, she couldn't have sent in the military. She's Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. No, she couldn't have ordered the military to go in, but her position is advisor or was advisor. My embassy needs help. Do what you can to get them help. She never did that. She was at home in bed. She wasn't where she should have been in a crisis in one of her embassies. So, yeah, she was directly responsible before and after. And then coming up with that lame video excuse for the attack. What? I mean, how do these people look themselves in the mirror? She must put on her mate. Well, she doesn't anyway, probably. Mm-hmm. But how could she look in the mirror and see herself, see a total liar day in and day out?
Well, it's not, you started off saying she says nothing. Well, when she does say something that is of substance that we as conservatives would want to hear, the media just covers it up with garbage. She has said that she wants to put coal miners out of work. She has said that she wants to raise taxes on the middle class. And depending on where you Google, middle class is anywhere between 33,000 and I think 120,000, depending on where you check that out. So that's a lot of people that would be affected by an increase in taxes, income taxes. In terms of Benghazi, the press, the media, makes it sound like she had no time to respond. Oh, well, she didn't know. Yes, she did know. There were 600 emails sent from the embassy where they were asking for help, and they were asking for help in advance. It wasn't just on the day of the attacks. They knew that trouble was brewing, and the Red Cross had pulled out of Benghazi, knowing that they had to protect their people. So, in terms of she's not saying anything, when she does say something, it is negative, and it does get covered up by the media. So, where Donald Trump is standing up and putting America first, there are healthcare, which was talked about in the last hour on your last radio show. There are illegal immigrants, which used to be called illegal aliens, and now we've softened it to illegal immigrants, and soon we'll get it all the way softened up to undocumented. But these people that are here without going through due process are receiving better medical care than not just our vets, but American citizens. And I'm so glad that the renewals on Obamacare have been released and are still being released prior to the election, because the press is indicating that it's only a 22% increase, but that is not true. In Arizona, you're looking at 106% increases. In Georgia, that 22% is really closer to 39%, and your choices are decreased and your access to care is decreased. I have one friend who started a GoFundMe page because their deductible is so high and their out-of-pocket is so high on their Obama plan that they don't have the money that they need to get some cortisone injections for their spine, which is giving them great pain and discomfort.
You know, Ellen, another thing with what's going on that... by the way, I talked to Robert, and there was a technical problem, so we want to thank Robert Graham for being on with us this morning and explaining some of the things that happened with the emails. You know, I have taken on this thing with her, and want to point out that we hear the issue of immigration, and just like you were saying about the undocumented getting better care, we have two things here. Nobody ever mentions this. We have a very, very broken immigration system.
Mm-hmm.
It is horrendous, and it hasn't kept up with the future. It hadn't kept up with the present. But undocumented individuals coming in don't automatically get welfare and get all the rest of stuff. We not only have a broken immigration system, we have a terribly broken welfare system. And this is, it's a joint problem, but it's a misunderstood problem. The undocumented take advantage of the hospital, the emergency rooms that can't turn them down.
Right.
So it's a very convoluted thing. And you say, you know, let's stop all immigrants. Well, you know, I have no problem with some of what's happening, and it should be stopped. But we also are kicking out people that we educate that could be highly productive. I mean, the whole system is so messed up, and nobody really – just putting up a wall doesn't answer the whole question. It's got to be a program that is fair to everybody. And one thing I like about Trump is that – fair first to the United States.
Right. So the Border Patrol, there are some laws in place that the Border Patrol is not able to enforce. That would cut down on illegal immigrants. And in terms of deporting people, no, you're not going to be able to just load everybody up into a plane or a train and haul them all back. What's going to happen is they're going to look at the people who have criminal records first. If you could just, if anyone, if Trump gets rid of just the people who have committed crimes, that will be fantastic. Leave us with the hardworking citizens. If I was in Mexico, I would do everything I could do to get here. But the folks that are here committing crimes and causing a drain on our infrastructure, they're using our tax dollars rather than paying into the system. If we can just set up a system by which the folks that are committing crimes get deported and remain deported rather than coming back to sanctuary cities and, frankly, killing innocent Americans. Could you imagine having a family member of yours murdered by someone who had already been taken out of this country more than once, yet they were roaming free on the street? And that was the reason why the blood of so many innocent people is really on the hands of our systems that don't support the laws that we already have.
Well, we can go one step further, and you compare that statement, which I don't disagree with at all, but we've made it sound like an epidemic, which it really isn't, compared to the epidemic of killings in Chicago every weekend. And like Trump has said, he wants to stop that immediately. Do whatever is necessary. If we have to put the National Guard on every corner in Chicago, we've got to stop this Black Lives Matter stuff. We had two more cops killed today.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally support the police in everything. They are in a very, very tough position, and I support Trump in supporting our police department, our first responders, and everyone else. We need to take a break. Again, I want to thank Robert Graham for calling in and also Ellen Deal for being here with us today. We'll be back right after this.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week as we explore all aspects of home and family defense as we strive to defend the ones we love in an ever-changing and volatile world.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren, on Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on the special edition of the Dan and Dave Show. And by the way, you can go to our website. We posted last week's special edition on the Dan and Dave Show. Dan and Dave is normally on Mondays. So you go to Monday, you scroll down to 10 o'clock, the Dan and Dave Show, and there you will see special edition. You'll see the Dan and Dave shows, and then you'll also see this show. And you're more than welcome to download it. Send it on to friends, relatives, or anybody else you might hate or love. Anyway, thanks for being here, Ellen.
Yeah, super. Well, so right before we went to break, we were talking about crimes in Chicago and shootings. It's interesting to me that when there's a shooting, the left, the liberals, like to take that opportunity to talk about gun control, and we need to have more gun control and stronger gun control. Well, for anyone who's ever purchased a gun before, you know that you have to go through a process in order to get that gun and fill out information so that they know you are not on any kind of watch list. So for folks that do have registered firearms, it's interesting when you think about crimes that are committed, and pulled up an article just quickly here that 60% of convicted felons admit that they avoid committing crimes when they know that a victim is armed. In terms of how many shootings in Chicago happened, I'm not able to get any kind of info right in front of me at the moment, but you think about Chicago shootings, murders, are these folks that have registered firearms? No, because if they were, the left would be saying, all these registered firearms people, but they just pick at the hearts, the bleeding hearts of liberals and say, well, we need harsher gun control. Well, then get the guns out of the bad guys' hands that have them illegally. That's how you get it.
Which you're never going to do. You know, it's not going to happen. You can take all the guns away from the folks that have legally purchased them. That doesn't help anything. But you look at the Sandinistas. You look at Mexico. You're not going to take the weapons out of any criminal's hand. They're always going to get them. You leave a country basically nude. You leave the good guys without weapons.
Right.
And the bad guys will just totally take over they want to take over the country anyway.
Right.
And they'll have the weapons to do it.
So the people who have weapons illegally, you can't track them down because they're not in a database anywhere. But
that's
folks
right.
That have purchased firearms and gone through the proper protocol, those will be the ones who would be forced to turn in their guns under a HER administration, which is just one of 100 reasons why Donald Trump is the candidate.
Can't argue. The saying that with regard to gun control, and I go back to this, and we've talked about it on other shows many, many times, a gun never kills anyone. It's the person holding the gun. And if it's a bad person, they have no qualms. You go back to, and these records can be found, of people that are registered gun owners, and particularly those that have gone the extra step and gotten their carry license,
mm-hmm.
The number is virtually zero on the crimes that either they've committed or been involved with or, heaven forbid, killed anyone. It's like off the chart 0001 or something. And yet the people that do the killings are the ones that are legally should not have weapons, be they past felons, be they gang members, whatever. Those are the ones that shouldn't have. And if Hillary can come up with a way to disarm all of them, good luck.
Well, she's not going to be able to find a way to disarm the people that aren't on record having them. So, yeah, good luck. In terms of who the Clinton Foundation is taking money from and how they feel about Americans and treat Americans, the Clinton Foundation, well, Saudi Arabia brags that they have supported 20% of her campaign and has given $25 million to the Clinton Foundation. You've got United Arab Emirates that has given $5 million, Qatar $5 million, Kuwait $10 million, Oman $5 million, and on and on and on. Even countries like Ireland, Algeria, Germany, Morocco, Norway. And what did they get in return for donations to the Clinton Foundation? Weapons deals. They were able to buy weapons from the U.S. because of their donations.
And this is one reason I'm glad to have you on. It's beyond me. I can't even fathom what Muslims want to do, Islams want to do, and that's obviously take over the United States. Throw out our Constitution and bring everyone under Sharia law. As a woman, do you want to give up? What are you doing here? How'd you get here? In a car? You drove? Well, you're not supposed to drive. By the way, why isn't your hair covered?
Right.
Why aren't you, you wouldn't be on this radio show. I'd have no respect for your opinion. Why would any woman in the world want to be under Sharia law?
If women knew and understood what Sharia law is about, they would stop and think twice about who they are voting for. So Donald Trump supports women and women's rights and sees us as equals and treats us that way, whereas Sharia law would say a lot of the things that you just said, Dave, in that we would have to wear at the very least some kind of head covering, if not a burqa. We would not be able to drive cars. Our opinion, if we needed to go to court, we would have to have a man in our family there with us to substantiate what we say. And Sharia law makes it all right for a husband to beat their wife, even in public. And another thing that our country needs to look at, all of the freedoms that we enjoy, Sharia law would say that gays could not behave openly the way that they do. They could be killed on the spot for showing any affection towards each other, and that's just a country that I don't want to live in. And there's so much more to Sharia law that we haven't even touched on.
This is sort of like talking to the, as I mentioned last week, the yellow dog Democrats. Don't confuse me with facts. My mind's made up.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get to women and explain this?
Well, so people say that the women voters are not coming out for Trump. Yes, they are. Most of the women that I know are for Donald Trump. Again, it's the media twisting things and lying, trying to make the Trump supporters feel defeated. We're called the silent majority for a reason. If there really was half of the population that was for Hillary Clinton, you would see more bumper stickers, you would see more signs, yard signs, you would see a lot more activity. So the evidence that there's not even 50% of the country for Hillary Clinton is, if they were really the majority or even half, we would be hearing a lot. They're a very, very vocal group. You think of a group, let's go back to Black Lives Matter. How many people is that? Yet how vocal are they? They really can rattle some cages. If we had 50% of the United States for her, this place would be just rocking in a negative way.
You know, you bring up a very good point, and I've been in the business a long time, and you look at the different rallies, and when the camera stays only on a fairly close up of Hillary and any audience behind her, and the camera doesn't ever pan the audience, doesn't ever move,
mm-hmm.
all you're seeing, you think, oh, my God, she's got a bunch. Well, she doesn't.
No.
At least Trump has gotten the cameras to move around, look at the audience. His rally, what, was it yesterday that was
he
the
has
largest?
Three a day. It's impossible to keep up.
With 20 and 30,000 people showing up?
Easily. Always over 20,000. And people are waiting online outside the door. So, again, if you're looking at just numbers, the media is squashing what is really happening. 20 to 1, even 40 to 1 for Trump rallies versus her rallies. So when you've got 20,000 people turning out for a Trump rally and then 1,000 or less turning out for a Hillary rally, that is huge. And the news is coming so fast that I think it was just this Saturday that Tim Kaine had a rally in Florida and 30 people showed up. Just 30 people.
Well, those were the 30 people on drugs that could stand to be there with him.
Good night. He's an interesting fellow. I also love all of the...
Which part of him is interesting?
I
don't find him interesting at all.
Yeah.
Other than if you're an eyebrow watcher.
He's got some bushy eyebrows on him there. Have you seen the pictures where people put a picture of Kaine side by side with the Grinch?
No.
We'll have to get you one of those to look at. I also love, speaking of side by side, how if you look at what the Democrats and the liberals had to say about Jim Comey when he let Hillary off back in July and said, you know, no reasonable prosecutor would bring a case, they were praising him and saying how proud they were of him. And now that he's come out after this Friday with having to reopen the case, these same people, of course, are singing a different tune. You would expect that. But what's interesting is Comey went out of his way to not prosecute Hillary Clinton back in July. Just think how much evidence there must really be for him to reopen the case. That's just where there's smoke, there is fire.
I want to address that.
Okay.
I had a phone call from a very dear friend yesterday that is very well connected to the FBI,
mm-hmm.
and I'll sort of drop that connection at that. But his call was, and his question to me, do you want to know what's actually happening at the FBI? And of course I said yes.
Yes.
You know? Who wouldn't? The media has come out to a degree with the fact that there is internal unrest within the FBI. And much of that, the current agents, folks that work on the ground, many of them went to Comey and said, what did you do? You just made asses of all of us. So there is the current agents that have objected to what Comey did in July. But the real pressure, and this is the story that my friend related from inside the real pressure came from the retired agents.
Hmm.
They literally went to Comey and said, we're not going to put up with it. We will spill beans, both current and past, that you won't be happy with.
Wow.
And he was literally forced by past agents, retired agents, into coming out. And it's everybody knows, my God, you couldn't have any more information on a person than on Mrs. Clinton. So they found a way through the laptop of Wiener, and that's why he reopened it. But the pressure has been extraordinary.
Well, I would definitely want to be wearing latex gloves when handling the Wiener computer. You never know what's on there. The interesting thing is, so Anthony Wiener was under investigation himself. So what happened was they were looking into Anthony Wiener and his emails when they stumbled across these other emails. So imagine you are a police officer and you have a search warrant to go into somebody's apartment and search for a bunch of pot. Well, You walk in and you find no pot, but as you're headed out the door, there's a giant pile of cocaine sitting there. Well, you don't just walk away and say, oh, didn't have a warrant for the cocaine. You take a look at that because you already are in with a warrant.
We're going to take a break on the special edition of the Dan and Dave Show with Ellen Deal. We'll be back right after this.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week for a full hour of all the best and latest information on how you can get the skills and equipment you need to protect the ones that you love.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Obamacare is failing. We all know that, but you need to know why and what you can do to get us back on the right track. Visit us at ObamacareWatch.org. This is Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. Join us at ObamacareWatch.org.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
So we're back on the Dan and Dave Special Edition, and our guest in studio, we want to thank profusely Ellen Deal for coming in, taking her time to come in.
Sure, great. It's always wonderful to be here, Dave. And, you know, I love talking about the next president of our United States, Donald J. Trump, because he is going to make America great again. And I've been at a couple of rallies when they were chanting, build that wall and lock her up. I have not been anywhere yet that they've chanted, drain the swamp. That one is...
I love. I think it... dead on.
Yep. And I don't know if you've noticed, Trump just has a way of intuitively being ahead of the information. When he was talking about Brussels before some things went down in Brussels, I think it was one of the attacks, and more importantly, Brexit. He called Brexit before it happened. He just has a knack or a gift for knowing.
Which I would respect as much, if not more, he has the contacts and takes the information that his people feed him. And I appreciate that. A great leader is only so great, it's the people that he surrounds himself mm-hmm. with that make him a great leader or her a great leader. You know, this is something that even Fox, to my knowledge, hadn't brought up, and certainly the mainstream media hadn't brought up. But... And if I fault Trump on one thing, it would be his presentation, particularly early on. And you know, we recognize he wasn't, quote, unquote, a politician to begin with, which makes him even better.
Mm-hmm.
But just like you were saying, the guy's been dead on. He might not have presented the information exactly like we PC people want it presented,
mm-hmm.
but he's been dead on, and nobody has come back and said, and like I said, to my knowledge, not even Fox has recognized that he has said it in advance.
It's so funny that you say, you know, folks that are PC don't like it. I think there's also a percentage of the population out there that was so sick and tired of what Obama has done to our country over the last 8 years that we were so thrilled to hear somebody just take the lid off of it and say what they were thinking so that we could say what we were thinking. I mean, it's a mess. It's a disaster. Look at the reality of it. And I think Donald Trump speaking boldly has encouraged a lot of other people to speak boldly. And in terms of being politically correct, we don't have time for political correctness anymore. That's what's gotten us into the trouble that we're in. We'll just go back to illegal alien. There's something that's become more politically correct. Used to be illegal alien, then it was illegal immigrant, now it's undocumented immigrant, and the next step is just going to be citizen. They're just going to call them that. And the other one is hate speech. That term is getting turned into microaggression. So the next thing on that is going to be jail. You're going to go to jail for thinking the wrong thing or wearing a Halloween costume that somebody finds offensive.
Yeah, going as a pilgrim and as an
Indian.
Indian.
Yeah. People are way too sensitive. So we'll just stick on.
That isn't even sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
That's stupidity.
Stupidity. There we go. We will take things our own direction. You look at all these rappers and the way that they talk, and they're upset because someone's speaking the truth in a very bold and brash manner, which I appreciate. That's why Donald Trump has the support of so many Americans. We are sick and tired, and finally there's a guy who thinks like us and talks like us and is saying what we've been afraid to say, because if we said boo, we would be told that we were a racist. You can't say that? Well, thank goodness, yes, we can. And it's, you know, not just rappers and PC. People in Hollywood, you have all of these Hollywood female stars that run around wearing, you know, practically nothing, or Kim Kardashian on the cover of a magazine with her enormous rear end on display for everybody, yet she's offended by Donald Trump? Get real.
When they blew this thing up, the Billy Bush thing, up out of wild proportion, you know, I've been in enough locker rooms, been in enough when I was a kid playing football and playing baseball, you know, and fraternity. So it's guy talk. Then again, there's girl talk.
Absolutely. I just think that we want to pretend to be polite. It's like when you meet someone for the first time. You don't drop F-bombs or, you know, completely let your guard down and say everything that you'd normally say around your buddies or when you feel like you're having a private conversation. Can we talk about who do we think Obama's going to pardon?
The world?
Honestly, I mean, there's got to be a list. He's got to have people calling him saying, I would like to be on your pardon me list, which Hillary Clinton's got to be at the top. So if Hillary Clinton is not elected president and Donald Trump pardons her, is she completely off the hook for everything?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I think a pardon, and I am obviously not an attorney, but I think she could be, I think it, you don't get a blanket pardon.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a specific pardon. You are pardoned. It might be several different things at one time,
mm-hmm.
but if, you know, she's pardoned for lying to Congress, she's pardoned for anything during the campaign, she's pardoned for this and that, but she's not pardoned for taking money illegally into the Clinton Foundation. So if they find something else down the road,
mm-hmm.
then that wasn't in the specific pardon, then I think she can be brought back up on charge. You know, it's sort of like you're pardoned for a murder.
Right.
But then you go out and kill somebody else.
Right.
You ain't pardoned for that second one.
So if Obama were to pardon Clinton before she gets in office, let's say that, God forbid, this is the deal they would want. He pardons her, and then she gets in office and she pardons him if anything, any dirt comes out on him. But if Trump is in office, everybody's going down. There's not enough pardons to go around and cover everybody, which is why everybody is against Trump. Trump.
Absolutely.
Which is why all of us need to get out and vote for Trump. And I really do believe that we are the silent majority.
So, with that being said, we got a couple of minutes. Did you bring your crystal ball?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was just looking at a line I had made on my notes. A friend sent me an email on Monday looking at a poll that is not one that's in the mainstream media, but I'm really enjoying it, was saying that in Ohio, Trump is up 5 points. In Florida, Trump is up 4 points. Nevada, 4 points. And North Carolina, 2 points. And this is including some squashed media. So, y'all get ready to celebrate on November 9th.
Well, Jay, I think Hillary's already bought the fireworks for her big celebration on the 8th, the night of the 8th, in New York or something.
Just because she's a woman doesn't mean I want her for president. Someone asked, well, don't you want to see a woman president? And I said, I'm not voting for the president based on their gender. I'm voting for the president based on their qualifications.
You know, if Margaret Thatcher were running, I might be convinced. But then again, she'd be running on the Republican ticket, not on the Democratic ticket.
There you have it.
Mm-hmm. You know, you hit it on the head. Qualifications. How do you feel, and we want to touch quickly on this, Robert, and we've had a couple of other people on regarding the rigging or the fixing of voting machines, and we've heard some bit about it out of Texas now on the early voting and voting a Republican ticket, and then you look down and it's been switched to Democratic or the top Republican has been switched to Hillary or whatever. My answer to that is it might be able to be done in some situations, maybe. I don't even know that to be a fact. But my feeling is if enough people get out and vote, they can't handle it. It won't handle it.
Right, and I think you're seeing a groundswell of people turning out to vote, people that aren't being polled because mostly Democrats are being voted. We do have to watch out for the 4 million dead voters. They're apparently coming out to vote. So, but, you know, we're past Halloween. Maybe we won't see them so much. But, Dave, you make a great point. We just have to turn out in sheer volume and support. And that's why I'll go ahead and say my prediction is that in reality, Trump will win this thing 80%, but the media, the lying, and the vote stealing will squash it to 57%, which is still a really strong win. And I realize that sounds crazy, but, you know, I'm sticking to my prediction.
Should we have a special edition of Dan and Dave next Wednesday and hold you accountable to that 57%?
You can hold me accountable to that. I feel very, very, very good about that. And we need to pray, too, because this is, without getting crazy on you guys, this is not just a fight that we're fighting in the natural. There is some spiritual stuff going on here. So anybody out there who believes in prayer, bring it.
Ellen, thank you for coming in today and being on the special edition, like last week. We look forward to seeing what's going to happen Tuesday. And one way or the other, we'll all be back and talking about the election.
All right. Thanks so much, Dave.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.